This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Mastery with Todd Allen, the talk radio show that dives into the science of higher consciousness. Join Todd and his guests weekly at 10 a.m. Pacific Time and learn how to live a peaceful life with intentional mastery. Enjoy a survey of inspiring topics such as abundance, intention, health, manifestation, love, and transformation. It's all right here, leading authors, speakers, coaches, entrepreneurs with stories and messages to support your well-being, let alone your most evocative of dreams.
Yes, it is Life Mastery Radio. My name is Todd Allen, and today is April 23rd of 2013. If this just happens to be Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, you're listening to the show live, and we'd really like to talk to you. So give us a shout. Call in to our guest call-in number, or I mean our listener call-in number, at 877-230-3062. We would just love to be able to interact with you and get what you're thinking. Before we start, just take a minute. Get yourself situated. Relax. Take in a couple of deep, deep breaths. One more. And get ready for an hour of talk dedicated to help you explore some thoughts and ideas for you to master your life. As always, I have my co-host with me today. One day you're going to have to open up the show.
Okay.
Coach Debbie, college writing instructor, award-winning editor, and a life coach. And you can find her at CoachDebbie.com. Good morning, sweetheart.
DebbieWithAY.com. Yeah.
DebbieWithAY.com. That's funny.
I know it's funny. It's one of those things that my mother wanted me to feel special and unique, so she changed the spelling of my name so I could forever have it be misspelled. But I know she had very good intentions. So, yes, CoachDebbieWithAY.com.
That's got a nice ring to it, sweetheart. So there's a reason that she did that.
Absolutely.
Who are our guests today? Our guests are Marilyn Hugh and Chuck Schmidt. And they are the relationship specialists.
And we can all benefit from that.
Yeah, they've written, they have a wonderful website. You can find the link at lifemasteryradio.net. And they have a nice fan page and some really, really, really interesting reads in their blog posts. It's really good stuff. And they have a whole section on recommended reading. And a lot of those books I've read, a lot of those books I've heard about, and a lot of those books are now on my radar to read.
They also have their new class, Thriving After Divorce, which is available through the Daily Ohm. And you can get a direct link to that by going to our show page and clicking on online classes. It'll take you right to their class.
You've taken quite a few of those classes. It's kind of cool because you get to set your own price.
Yes, yes. You can pay up to $100 and you can pay less. And it's all based on the honor system and what works for you. You never have to leave the comfort of your own home. I love Daily Ohm classes.
Yeah, and there's so much. They have so many different. It's just, It's really, really a cool thing. And you just get them in your email, a lesson a week. Isn't that the way it works?
Often it's a lesson a week. Sometimes you get some where you get a new one every day.
Nice. While you're at the webpage, www.lifemasteryradio.net, click up in the corner there and sign up for our newsletter. Just takes an email address and submit it, and then you'll be on our list and get a weekly newsletter. I highlight the past week's guests, the up-and-coming guests, and the big bonus is a Life Mastery tip for the week. And this week was really cool. Didn't take long to write that one. It was on meditation, getting in the groove and getting your groove on. And I was really proud of that one.
You did a very nice job.
Yeah. And well, you helped me edit. You're the editor.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Sign up for that newsletter. We also have a Facebook fan page. We'd appreciate it. You go there, check it out. I always post who the guests are, what the guests are coming up. interesting blog posts. That's something else about the website, too, is I usually try and find a blog post from the guest and put it on the website. And there's a really good one there on the four dramas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I saw you reading that this morning. Did you like that one?
I did. I did. It had a little 12-steppy ideas in there I've heard before, family dynamics stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, on with the show and our guests. Our guests today are Marilyn Hugh and Chuck Schmidt. Marilyn Hugh is a professional counselor with over 20 years' experience. Her main focus is helping both individuals and couples awaken their capacity to live life more fully. When people feel stuck in their lives, it's often because they are only seeing a very small part of who they are. Chuck Schmidt has been working in the personal development field for over 30 years and practicing psychotherapy for the last 20. His main focus is relationship issues, whether they be with a partner, family member, coworker, or boss. He believes that all our relationships have something to show us. And that's real important too, sweetheart, I think, is, you know, relationships isn't just about
love, is that the word you were thinking?
I was going to say a man and a woman, but we have to be politically
correct. All love.
All love. Love.
Relationships are always about love, whether it's sister, brother, mom, dad, anyone.
There you go. Thank you. The relationship specialist came into being in 1994, and that's what Chuck and Marilyn have as their partnership and their project together. They were giving a talk to an audience of 500 people at the Barnes & Noble bookstore in Boulder, Colorado, and the coordinator of the event introduced them as the relationship specialist, and the name has been with them ever since. It's kind of cool. Welcome to the show, Chuck and Marilyn.
Thank you.
Yay, thank you.
Todd,
can
I do a little edit? Marilyn's last name is Huff.
And Huff, okay.
Huff like tough, and everybody, she's been doing this her whole life trying to, it's Huff, Hugh, or Ho. And we just got back from a vacation in Mexico, and they called her Marilyn Hoy.
Hoy.
Oh, Hoy. You're expanding.
Yeah. I get that, too, because my last name is Cutaback, and I've heard every different version.
Wow.
But I have a friend that spells it the same way, and he is Hugh, so that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I think
well, it's
it is,
tough.
But
rough,
anyway.
Tough, Huff.
Huff.
That's how I
Marilyn
remember
Huff.
It.
Welcome to the show.
Thank
Yay,
you.
Yay, thank you.
So I'm curious, in 1994, when you guys were introduced together, were you a couple then, or did that create this journey?
Oh, we were absolutely a couple. We met in grad school, actually, in California, and we moved to Colorado. That was our first stop in our adventure. And in order to get clients, we started giving talks at bookstores and, you know, business meetings and things about relationships. And this one night when they did that talk, the little girl just said, and I'd like to introduce the relationship specialist. And we went ding, 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 ding. Because when we were in grad school, we did all the couples in our grad school at the counseling center. When there was a couple that came in for counseling, everyone would just give it to us because no one wanted to deal with couples. Too much energy.
That's
right.
So funny.
We just became the couples specialist.
That's wonderful, wonderful. But it wasn't really your intention. Is that what I'm hearing? That you two were going to go into work together and become the relationship specialist, the couples specialist?
Yes, it was our intention, actually.
We
were going to call ourselves Marilyn and Chuck or something, and someone gave us a great name. But while we were in school in our third year, we worked in a counseling center, and everybody was a brand new counselor, so most people were afraid to go in as an individual counselor and work with two people. And Marilyn and I, for some reason, loved doing that. So we knew when we got out that's what we were going to focus on. It's just the name that really helped us.
Mm-hmm.
I think our bigger
focus amazing.
Was actually working with healthy people, because we really want to work with people that are just like us and want to see a little bit more in life than they're currently seeing. So it makes our practice a lot of fun for us. We don't get burnt out, and it's just a focus that we like.
So is your practice together, or do you both also have your individual practices?
We do both, actually. We see individuals individually, and we see couples together when they need it. We let them determine that because it's like twice the cost. So if they when people are in crisis and they really want to save their marriage or the situation that they're in, they'll usually have both of us come down and work with them. Then they get the male and the female perspective, and they feel heard. And actually, counseling can go quite a bit quicker when they have both, because it's just a safety. It's some kind of security that they feel that they're both being heard and understood. And so they actually move faster than having to go home and say, oh, well, that was just what she thought, or that was just his opinion. You know, they get both in the moment.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was visioning in my mind. I mean, how much more it's first amazing that it's been over like 20 years and you guys have found a niche where you get to work together. And, you know, that's kind of, you think about it, that's kind of rare.
It is rare.
I don't know any couple, you know, besides Marilyn and Chuck that work together. Todd, my sweetie, on the radio.
Oh, we do.
It's like playing. So I mean, we actually will see couples, and sometimes we'll look at each other, and they're still sitting there in the room with us, and we'll look at each other, and we'll go, we're getting paid for this, you know, because it's so much fun.
And that so also, that helps with the process that they're going through, because when people come in, they're usually in crisis or they're having some kind of trauma, and if we're very light and playful and accepting and loving, they let go a lot quicker and they dive deeper a lot quicker rather than having to face a cold, impersonal person. It's like, okay, these people are really cool. Let's see what we can do. And it's fun. And, well, recently we had one couple who said, you should be paying us.
Yeah. Well, because we'll actually use our own stuff. Like Chuck will say something and I'll think, oh, I don't agree with that. So I'll just say that right in the moment. And then we'll use that as a tool to let them know they're not the only ones that disagree. Just because you disagree doesn't mean you're in crisis. You know, it just means you have a different opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have these thoughts and ideas about the unique challenges this relationship and this business together that you must encounter or have encountered and have worked through it. It's just really cool.
It's a lot of fun for us.
We could tell you a story about that. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
Uh-oh, what's the story?
No, the story is...
Now she's thinking, what's the...
No.
No, it's a good story. We tell most of our clients this story, too. When we first got together, we were very strong individuals, and we had moved from California to Colorado, and so it was the first time we ever lived together, and we had conflict. And so for the first year, we would have normal fights like everyone else would have. I, unfortunately, had not learned enough yet, so I would get mad and I would leave. And finally we had, and go for a drive or go for a walk around the block, not leave the relationship. But finally we had a talk where there was an agreement that I wouldn't leave. And one night, it was pouring down rain, and we had a big fight, and Marilyn came up to me. I stood in front of the window looking at the rain with my arms folded like a mountain. I was not moving. I was so, so mad. And she came up and she put her hand on my shoulder and used one of the techniques that we learned in school. And this is almost a year after school. And for a fraction of a second, I was furious that she was using a technique on me. And then all of a sudden, I burst into laughter. And in that moment, we both had a realization that everything that we learned works. And all we had to do is put it into practice and then start teaching it. And after that, all our major fights just ended. And we would have little skirmishes, but all the big ones that we had were done once we realized that we could work through something. So that was a big aha moment for, at least for me.
Well, for both of us, I think what we learned is we'd been teaching these skills to people for a year, and we weren't using them ourselves. And it's really easy to teach skills to other people, you know, that are in crisis.
Right.
But try to do it yourself in the middle of an argument. So now when we teach a skill, we can say, hey, this isn't easy. This was our experience. It'll take a little practice. Like Chuck said, it's simple, but it's not easy. the technique's right. simple, but putting it into practice isn't always easy because you're in the middle of your upset.
Right.
You are. You're just right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I've noticed about that when you have a new tool is, at least for me, if I think, hey, you know what I could do right now? I could do that new little thing I learned, and I could speak up for Debbie. So I almost become like a clone of myself,
yeah.
And I know I'm sort of trying it out. It's almost as if I get to step out of that place of being, you know, hurt or angry or whatever it is. I get to step out for a minute and go, hey, I just learned this tool. I'm going to try it out here. Okay, let's see. How does that go again? And you try it out. And for a moment, you're not feeling the hurt and the anger. You're all caught up in the tool. And if it works, well, hallelujah. And if it doesn't, you know, you try it again later.
I think that's a great idea, Debbie.
It's really helpful.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a spiritual experience, kind of
witnessing
yourself doing something and having great success.
Yeah.
I find it really, really helpful, especially when, you know, feelings start to rise and you think, gosh, I want to be bigger than this. I want to rise above this. And if you can pull up a little tool you've heard about or tried once before and say, okay, highest girl, step in here. Try it on. Come on.
Right. I'm going to take a giant step back out of myself and watch this go on while I try my new tool. I like that. I'm going to actually try that.
You can copy it. Sure.
Thank you.
One of the things that we often tell our clients is you can use your relationship for personal growth. And, Debbie, I think that's exactly what you were referring to.
Mm-hmm.
It's instead of looking at the relationship as just a relationship, just someone who's sharing your life, you can also use it as a tool to show you where you have growth opportunities. And if you, I think that's what you were describing just now, that you can take
that
a
is.
Step back. Yeah. And I do.
I read that article this morning, and that was a really good article, and I really liked the part where it talked about learning, because I was told, oh gosh, it's been years now, that when you have a love affair with knowledge or learning, then heartbreak, I don't want to say it's non-existent, but it just makes it easier because you're learning, and more so you're learning about yourself.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Tell me more about that.
Well, when instead of having an attachment to somebody or not being conscious of what it is you're doing in life, when you have a love affair with knowledge, gaining knowledge. Follow me?
Yeah, I'm following you.
I'm sure I've told you that before. That's one.
Oh, you have. I had no idea what you're talking about. So that's really interesting.
Well, it's kind of like what you're saying in different words, Debbie, where you're more involved with trying your new tool, which is your new knowledge, than you are being caught up in the drama of the thing that's going on.
Right, because the drama of that stuff going on is just a reminder of old stuff that went on before two people knew each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to go there.
Right.
Yeah, no one wants that. I mean, that was the whole purpose of getting to grow up, was that we get to leave that behind. But I think it's natural for feelings and emotions to come up between people. And I know one thing that when I was a child that used to come up was, well, anger wasn't accepted in my household. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. But it wasn't accepted. And what we had to do was go to our room. And we were allowed to come out when the anger was over. So hence my first relationship, 20 decades ago, my first relationship, I didn't know how to tell my partner that I was angry, nor did I know that it was even safe to say I feel angry. And now I know, you know, I can turn to Todd and say, I feel angry about something. And I realize it's just a fact, as opposed to it's the end. I have to move out. It's not that. It's just a fact. I happen to feel angry about something. And then the two of us can talk about it. Or, you know, if I guess, want to go to my room and sulk for a minute, I can and come back. And, you know, whatever else, but there are options, and we want to be able to put those tools into practice. We want to rise above what it was we came from.
Not only is it a fact, it's also a clue. It's a clue that there's an opportunity here to work through something, whatever it is, and the fact that you can talk to Todd about that means you can immediately engage in working through it, which is what most of the population does not know yet. And that's one of the things that we're trying to teach, is that everything, you can work through everything. If you work through it in the moment, it might be a little bit of a pinch, a little bit of hardship or heartache, but the longer you let it grow, the longer you let it go, the bigger it grows. And so we're very much in the moment, work in the moment.
Well, and if you let it go, it turns into something personal normally.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's intuitive to know this. I signed up for classes very much like the ones that you all give, and I went for years religiously. It mattered to me to learn that feelings were not some sort of character defect, but that if you want to relate to people, lovers, siblings, parents, you have to be aware of your feelings and how to show up in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, the interview's about you, so let's...
so far, so good.
Stories here. Those are good stories. That's really good stuff. But I am curious about some of the clients you might see today. You know, there's this huge divorce rate going on in our society. And is that people grow up and grow apart? I mean, we as humans, we tend to get together at a young age and then we find differences and then they don't necessarily resonate with each other. And I read a really interesting article that you guys wrote that I can't remember the title of it now, and it's understanding mostly yourself and how you're approaching what it is that you're not getting in a relationship. Did I get that right?
It's what we were. I don't know what title to relate it to, but that's definitely the kind of work we do. One of the things that I thought you were going to bring up, and I had this little snippet of something that somebody said. It was an 80-year-old man, and he had been married to his wife for 60, 61, 62 years, and they interviewed him, and they said, "How did you last so long?" And he said, and I remember this clearly, "We never fell out of love with each other at the same time."
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, I think I saw that.
Yeah.
Was he just a very, very older 90-something-year-old man?
He was old.
And she had just passed. Yeah. I think I saw that. It was one of the sweetest things in the world.
That is great.
He did.
So as people grow and change and they expect those that are close to them to jump on board with them, that's usually what ends up in divorce? Is that what I was reading or understanding, or am I a little off track?
I think it's more about growing apart because of the lack of communication, because there's two things that are happening right now that we see in therapy. Lots of times people come in thinking they want a divorce, and after just a couple sessions, when they actually talk to each other and they hear what the other person's saying, they realize that what they're going through is pretty normal, and they can choose to grow together or grow apart. I don't think that growing apart is necessarily a bad thing, as long as it's not about you're fighting over something. When people come in and they're fighting over something that's ridiculous, then it's ridiculous. But when people are actually on different pages, like their lives have taken different paths, because like you said, maybe they got together in high school or even college, and that's just a little bit too soon, and they don't continue to grow together, then I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with then working to grow apart and letting that be okay. What I don't like is when people come in and want to blame one another. I think when you have to blame one another about getting divorced and make the other person wrong, then you're not ready to get divorced. There's something else going on that you're just not understanding.
Great.
communication is that key. Well, I think this is a great place to just take a break. I do want to explore this thought and this idea just a little bit more, and we'll do that right after this. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We all have amazing talents and knowledge that should be shared with the world. Become a host on Contact Talk Radio and help spread your insight and wisdom. Help others grow as you grow your business and reach a level of connection far greater than you could reach on your own. Take the first step and learn more by visiting ContactTalkRadio.com or contact Cameron at 425-221-3646. Continue to spread the word about the importance of conscious living. Contact Talk Radio is now available in more ways than ever. Go to iTunes and download the brand new app for your iPhone and iPad today. It's just one click and you'll be listening live to your favorite hosts and shows. And you'll never have to guess what's on because the schedule is always up to date and right at your fingertips. You can start listening live right now by heading over to the iTunes Store and downloading the new CTR app. Consciousness in action. Now, no matter where your journey takes you. Want to become a member of an amazing and fun group of individuals? Then you need to join the Contact Talk Radio Network. When you join Contact Talk Radio, you join our social network, where you can chat with the show hosts and other members, post pictures, even videos. When you join Contact Talk Radio, you receive exclusive information about our shows, events, and all the latest happenings. When you join Contact Talk Radio, you become a member of our team, blazing a trail to greater understanding of the world we live in. Signing up takes less than a minute, and boom, you're in. Don't wait. Come join us. Visit ContactTalkRadio.com now and click Sign Up.
Welcome back to Life Mastery Radio. If you've just tuned in, we have a couple. We're a couple of couples today. We have Marilyn Huff and Chuck Schmidt with us, and they are the relationship specialists out of Oregon. And you can find them by going to lifemasteryradio.net and clicking on the links that I have there. It's to their webpage, the relationship specialist, and they also have a Facebook fan page. And their Facebook fan page is very active, so you can really get into the groove with their thoughts and ideas by liking their page. So before the break, we were talking about growing apart and being in a relationship and still being able to maintain that. And, you know, so many times I find myself in groups of people that are like-minded, spiritually connected explorers. And many times I hear from the women that, you know, they're on this path of exploring themselves and getting spiritually connected, and they're into meditation and they're into understanding the universal consciousness, and yet their husbands give them grief over a bunch of hoo-boo jubu that they believe in. And I have to think about that, and I think this must be a difficult situation. What is a person to do, and how do they grow through that?
Chuck, are you going to answer that?
Sure.
You stumped them.
Sometimes they can't, and sometimes all it takes is constant communication, expressing what you're learning, having a dialogue about it, addressing your partner's concerns. I have had a couple of couples where one person was spiritually oriented and the other was religiously oriented, and they could not find a common ground. That was really difficult. There have been other couples, though, that have been able to do that, and it's almost as if those couples recognize that they're each individuals and they each have their own personal preferences, but they still want to be together, and so they don't they try not to take it personally. They try not to say, because you believe this, you don't like me, or because you believe this, you don't believe in me. They don't take it personal. The ones that get in trouble do.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what happened to me, because, well, I got into trouble with alcohol. It became a major part of my life, and I woke up to the 12-step program and started to explore. And the whole 12-steps program really encourages you to explore yourself, and it's all about introspective work. And I started to really get on this path of spirituality. And my wife at the time was just avidly religious in a faith that is just really strict. And it just, we couldn't seem to work it out. It just ended up in a really good thing today, because we did have three daughters and we can communicate and manage them and their growth. And gosh, I just have three of the most wonderful daughters, no problems with, you know, drugs or alcohol, and they all get good grades. And it's just amazing how we can work together separate.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's an example of a good divorce.
Well, it was not pretty at first, and that's maybe yeah. something we could talk
about. That's another show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I read this fantastic book once called Undefended Love, and I never really thought about, until I read it, how much defense can come up in a relationship and how that can start to drive two people to think that they're not so suited for each other, or that there is a right or there is a wrong in a relationship. How do you work with couples when you see that there is this element of defense between them?
I think you hit the nail on the head with that. I think that's one of the biggest problems in relationships, is needing to defend your position, because then you always have to be in control and you have to win. And if you win at the expense of your partner, the relationship always loses. So
yes.
Really what you want to do is have a strong, that's the whole concept of building yourself and finding out who you are. If you own who you are and you're happy with it, then you can be with another person that has some opinions that aren't the same as yours. And you can listen to their opinions and you can respect them whether you agree with them or not. It doesn't mean you agree just because you hear somebody. It's just like, oh, that's an interesting concept. I think it's full of baloney, but it's an interesting concept. And, okay, I can see where you would believe that. I mean, I have that in my own family with my son, who has taken up a religion that I think is very strict. And I don't believe it at all. I think there are things that they do that I can't even imagine. But it's what they've chosen. So who am I to say that's any better than what I do or what my beliefs are? You know, he can live peacefully in his little space, and we can still, you know, be wonderful family members. I don't need to touch it and try to change his opinion, and he doesn't try to change mine.
How do you guide couples that find themselves in those roles of defense, or in that need to be right, or that struggle to win? How do you work them towards that unity of partnership?
Well, what I was just saying to you is what I usually explain to my couples. It's like there's two people in a relationship, and then there's the relationship. So if Debbie needs to win and be right, the relationship loses. Mm-hmm. If Todd needs to win or be right, the relationship loses. But if you look beyond the two of you to the entity called the relationship and do everything mm-hmm. based on that and what you want for that, which is happiness, growth, and whatever it is you two choose, then you're making your decisions based on an entity that's a little bit bigger than you. And so it's kind of a little bit easier to let go of the personal need to defend. It's just like you were saying earlier, Debbie, now when I'm triggered about something, I try to step outside of it and try my new technique. It's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just try mm-hmm. something different, because what we're doing isn't working.
There's actually a phrase that we use often. It's, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And the people that are defending want to be right. And the people that are happy want the relationship to work. And the way that we would deal with it in a counseling session would be, just pointing out every time the person gets defensive. And when we point it out in the beginning, they get mad at us. They, what do you mean I'm defensive? They just get madder. And over a period of time, over a couple of few sessions, they start to accept the fact that, okay, yes, I am. And they are increasing their awareness so that when they go home, they can recognize that, oh, here I am being defensive again, and I don't want to be that way. Let's have a conversation and see how we can work that out.
Well, and I'll even say to people, is what you're about to say or do going to add to your goal, which is your happy relationship, your marriage working? And so before the words come out of your mouth or the email or the text gets, you know, you hit send, is that thing that I'm about to say that's going to make me feel good in the moment going to help what I want in the long term?
Nope.
And usually the answer is no.
Now, I've always thought that women were more feelings-oriented and men were more do and provider-oriented, but I've had a couple relationships and I'm finding that that might not be necessarily true. Yet at the same time, I think it's really important how feelings show up in relationships. And I know that I feel 100% secure in my work relationships and my relationship with Todd and my relationship with siblings when I know that person has my back when I express my feelings. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's like the core of it all. If I know I can turn to that person and say, wow, I had a really challenging day, and they say, yep, you did, you know, and that's all it is, boy, I feel like $1 million because mm-hmm. I was just heard. And yet I hear so many couples say, well, because I'm a life coach, I get people that say, you know, he just doesn't hear me. He just doesn't see me. He just doesn't know me. And I think, oh, I wonder if they're talking about feelings, but I'm not sure.
They could possibly be, just in defense of men. On the average, I think your first statement was right, that women are more feeling and men are more thinking and rational. And one of the things that we attempt to do with men is to let them know that when their partners are speaking to them or whenever the feeling person, we're starting to see a little bit of a mixture, but mostly it breaks down into women feeling, men thinking. Whenever the feeling partner is speaking, all you have to do is listen. Most of the time, men, when they hear women thinking, feel blamed, and they don't realize that women think out loud. Men think inside and then come out with a formed thought. We have men who say, I want a divorce, and the woman goes, what does that mean? And he said, well, I've been thinking about it for 2 years.
Right.
And women,
my goodness,
are having emotional outbursts, but really all they're doing is letting everything that's inside of them come out, and the tool that we help men do is to not take it personally.
Interesting. Very interesting. See, now again, I was taught in intimacy classes, you don't express your feelings until you've taken them in yourself and you're very clear on what they are so that you can say what they are. And yet I still find that it is so tricky in relationships to still feel confident that, you know, it'll be received. You know, you don't want to be told, oh, it must be that time of the month or the moon is passing by or, you know, some silly reason why you might be feeling down or you might be feeling disconnected. Mm-hmm. So I find it all so very fascinating how people relate. A gay couple, friends of mine, Dennis and Antonio, boy, they talk a lot about how they can get so thinky, and they miss each other. And then they can both be so deep in feelings, and they miss each other. And that they're just so trying to find that balance. Tricky for relationships to find that balance.
Are there some tips and techniques? So I always get curious about what people tell people to do.
I am too.
Therapist, like the one that comes to my mind is when you have an argument, then you have to strip off all your clothes and stand in front of each other and continue on the argument.
We've never said that. kind of fun. Maybe I'll try it with my younger couples.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. It's just amazing some of the things that come up. Is there some techniques that you would recommend, especially around communication? Because that is so important. You know, a guy could be at work all day or went golfing and had a bad day and come home and not say anything about that. And the woman can think, oh, well, he's thinking about leaving me, you know, or there's something going on with
him. That is so right on.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, there's no, and so opening up that communication. So is there something that you tell clients to do before maybe, you know, I guess it's mostly an awareness of how you're reacting to the situation.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think I just actually had that happen the other day. What was it? Somebody, this woman made reservations to go on a trip to Hawaii. And the reservation called for a layover on the way home, and they had to stay for 8 hours at the San Jose Airport in California. And when her friend got it, her girlfriend, she said, "Oh my gosh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not spending overnight at an airport, you know, and then coming home the next day. You need to change it." And the girl that received that message heard, "Oh my gosh, she doesn't like me anymore, and she doesn't want to go on this vacation." And I'm like, how did you jump to that conclusion? It was just mind-boggling. But I think what happens is an event happens, and Debbie, you mentioned this, that's like our past garbage coming up usually. An event happens, we make meaning of it, like this is the meaning that event had. Like she told me she doesn't want to go on stay at the airport for 8 hours, so that means that she doesn't want to go on the trip with me. And I'm going to interpret that to mean that she no longer wants to be with me at all and we're breaking up. And they jump. Mm-hmm. They take those big jumps. So we actually do explain that kind of thing to people when they come in and we hear kind of that outlandish, like, where did you get that thought? It has no basis in reality. So first it's like, okay, let's talk about it, you know. But if you can explain that sequence and they can see how they've interpreted a situation to mean something, and then the further interpretation and how maybe that came from another place and it's not based in current reality, that helps. The other thing that really helps people is if it's gone beyond into some kind of fight, we always teach people timeouts. And timeouts aren't about like separating like Chuck and I did when we first met. Timeout is more about I can feel that something is coming up that is not going to be a pleasant thing that I want to say. That, you know, there's words that are going to come out of my mouth that shouldn't be said, and they're going to harm our relationship. So I'm going to do a timeout, which is actually a hand signal. And instead of separating and being mad at each other, because you know how when you get in a fight, your first thoughts when you separate aren't nice thoughts. They're more of the negativity that you were thinking, my partner, blah, 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 and it's all really negative stuff. Instead, we'll help people when they separate to separate for a specific time, usually 30 minutes, look at the clock and you say, okay, it's 10, let's meet back here at 10:30. And while you're gone, we want you to think about three things. First is, what was my partner trying to say to me? So you get immediately out of your own brain and what you wanted, but what was he trying to say or she? What was my part in escalating this conversation? And then the third thing is think positive thoughts that make you happy. And hopefully you'll get around to positive thoughts about your partner. So that when you get back together in 30 minutes, it's more of, oh, I think you were trying to tell me da-da-da-da-da. Is that right? Yes. Okay. And there's not even a conversation. I mean, you usually have figured it all out when you've put your mind to it instead of, again, being so stuck on getting your point across.
It's really important to put the time frame in there too. It's 30 minutes, some people go an hour, some people go 2 hours, but what we have learned is that when somebody walks away from a fight, the more emotional person, and it's usually the women, feel that the relationship is in jeopardy. Yes. And so oftentimes they will come after the partner going, we need to fix this, we need to fix this, whereas the other partner just wants to chill out so that they can talk. So if there is a time frame given, then the other person can relax and go, okay, I know we're not broken. We're just taking a pause, and we're going to figure this out in an hour or two.
Yeah.
I've heard many, many women say that has helped me immensely.
Yeah, because it brings up your abandonment issues otherwise. If somebody just walks out, we all have abandonment issues, and they will come up big time if you're in a fight and someone walks out.
Wow, that is a cool one. I don't know that I've heard that one before. But, you know, it really has a way of honoring, you know, that we just need to tune out for a little bit and honor each other's ability to process what's going on. And
absolutely.
Because it can really get like a ping pong game. You know, you hurt me twice as much, and now I have to come back at you four times as much. And now that other person comes back eight times as much, and it's a never ending, and it just escalates into something not very pretty at all. So that's really cool.
I'm so glad I've never been through that ping pong game with you.
Well, it also breaks that emotional place where when you're in anger, you can't find the other happier emotions to get back together and fix it.
Right.
And so when you have the time out, you have time to settle, and literally, physiologically, your body will calm down, your blood pressure, your pulse, all that, and you can get back into that happier space where you're connected again, and then you can fix it. But you can't fix it in the midst of anger and that plane up there, or I should say down there, that is really yucky and negative.
Yeah, I think anger is really good information, and in that it really helps the person who's feeling the anger know that there's something in their life that they want to speak up for.
Yeah.
I used to be married once too, and oh boy, you know, there's a lot of anger I would see, and I'd think, you know, how is it that he could be so darn angry? But at the same time, there was this. I don't know. I guess like a mother instinct would come out, and I think there's something really important to him that I'm missing it. I'm missing the whole thing because he is so upset. And I would find that if he could have a little time to be with that anger, often the communication changed into language I could hear and that I thought had something to do with me. But often it would start with something that I had no idea. I didn't know anything. But maybe that's because it was coming from a past place.
It could be. And anger, you can use anger as a clue. Anger is a clue that you're not getting something that you want. And if you flip it or pivot it and just turn it around, you can say, okay, I'm not getting whatever, the feeling of love, I'm not getting someone to listen to me, I'm not getting what I want, then if you flip it around, you know what you want, and if you express that, then that takes the fight to a completely different place. It gets you out of what you were just talking about, which was, maybe this is really old stuff that has nothing to do with me, and if the partner says, I'm not feeling loved right now, I want to feel loved, if you're in a really good place, you might just go up and hug them.
Right, right. And they just might accept it. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, this show has gone by really, really quick, as they always do. But I always like to ask my guests about a testimonial or a story that really brings to light the work that you do and how. And I don't want to give energy to rescue a couple, but maybe a couple that turned around.
Maybe amazing, rejuvenated.
Give them more energy. Does anything come to mind?
I know that I worked with a couple once for 5 months, and they did really, really hard work, and they were very happy when they left, and 6 months later they called me up and said they were going to get a divorce, and I went, what happened? And they came in one time, just one time, and that one time they got all the way back to where they were in that really happy place. They had just forgotten everything. So when people come out of counseling, they have a momentum, and this is one of the fears that a lot of people have, that they'll lose their momentum and they'll backslide. And one of the things that we are trying to do now is to remind them that it's their responsibility to keep the momentum, and they can always come in for checkups, or they can read books, or they can have personal relationship days, whatever they want to keep that momentum going. How about you, honey?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of a couple that I'm working with right now. And I think the biggest testimonial to therapy working is the referrals that you get. One lady, she's just sending people to me. It's so funny. But, where people, I mean, this one couple was so outrageous. They would come into my office and literally scream. And I'm like, I need a drink or something. You guys are just, do you actually talk to each other this way? I mean, it was beyond my comprehension, because usually when you know, if you're a yelling kind of person, you usually don't do that when you come into therapy. You might get mad, but you don't, like, have these arguments. And I remember the first time they came in, I thought they were done. I thought, this marriage is over. And they came back the next week like nothing had happened. And they said, no, that's how we talk to each other. And I'm like, okay, well, there are some things we need to change here. And when they actually started to learn to back off and work on themselves, and like Debbie was saying, getting that center inside of yourself where it's okay to try new things and give up that need to be right, I'm just going to try this new tool and see how it works. And when they started doing that, they really have turned around totally, and now they send all kinds of people in, which is great. But they were a couple I thought, I don't want to work with these people, because again, I like to attract people that are fun to work with, and you know, all that.
Exactly.
But I learned a lot too.
I
love what you two have shared with us, and I just really want to stress with the listeners that, you know, seeking therapists and this sort of work, I don't think it implies weakness. I think it really implies a lot of strength and a lot of a vision for the possibilities of where you might go. Even in my situation where my ex-husband and I sought a lot of counseling, I mean, thank goodness for that, because we're on such a good page now. And I don't think that would have been true. We're both living out dreams, and I'm happy with my life, and he's happy with his. And I credit a lot of that to having third parties like yourself to talk to.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think there's nothing better than having people learn from whatever experiences they went through and go on to a better place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's what we all want, is to be in our right place.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, Honey Pie?
It is, for sure. I think we do pretty good. I don't think we've had any arguments.
We haven't had a fight, and we've been together 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's a whole nother show.
I know.
No. We've disagreed, but I would certainly say I've never had a fight with Todd.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Oh, it's such a change in my life, but it's a really, she's a really groovy chick. I really
thank you.
And we had a couple of really groovy people on our show today.
Sure did.
Thank you
so much
for
being on the show today.
Fun.
Yeah, it's just amazing how you can come into a discussion and, you know, really explore some thoughts and ideas and produce a good product for people to grab a hold of and have some thoughts and ideas of their own, to explore their own lives, and especially life mastery, because relationships, all relationships, are a huge part of life mastery. So thanks so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome.
We'll meet you in the conference room in a minute.
What do you think, Debbie? Was this a good show?
It's essential for people to know about these things.
Yeah.
Absolutely essential.
And I get to learn stuff, too.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I love learning in this category.
Yeah. That's it.
The naked arguments.
Oh, I'm terrified. We can't ever have an argument, because I don't think I can do that.
Well, you know where it ends up, sweetheart.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, don't do that in your therapist office.
Oh, I'm very red in the face right now. Okay, I get it.
That would be hard for me.
Okay, I understand. Okay, I understand.
You get it.
We'll meet you two in the conference room.
We will be back in the conference room here in just a minute. And that's it for today.
Thanks so much,
guys.
Please
tune in next week. We'll have another wonderful guest. I don't have it in my notes who it is.
It's Michael Ventura, and she's going to talk to us about money coaching.
Money coach next week. So come back again at 10 a.m. and listen to the podcast. Thanks to those that listen to the podcast on iTunes and Spreaker. I see you listening. Give me some feedback. I'd really appreciate knowing what you think about the show and how we can make it better. That's it for today. And remember, make it a great day. It's a choice.
Thank you for tuning in to Life Mastery with Todd Allen, the talk radio show that dives into the science of higher consciousness. Join Todd and his guests weekly at 10 a.m. Pacific Time and learn how to live a peaceful life. For more information on Todd and his guests, visit his website at www.lifemasteryradio.net. That's www.lifemasteryradio.net.